We are here with Gay LeBaron talking about her latest book called The Wonder Seekers of Fountain Grove. And we've been talking about Thomas Lake Harris, who was a cult leader. Is that fair to fair assessment?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Here in Sonoma County. Talk about the red barn, the round barn, because, you know, obviously so many of us so attached to it and for many years. And talk about where that began.
Well, I think it began with Harris because he had a follower who was an architect. In fact, had designed some pretty extravagant buildings in San Francisco. And he had done some designs for all of the buildings that Harris wanted to build, planned to build at Fountain Grove, ultimately. And I've seen some of the blueprints for the imagination that this man had. And some of it. Now, I have to also add that these buildings were to be built to go into the celestial sphere when the world ended.
Oh, so they
were going up physically into and he had designed a number of buildings that weren't built, but some of them were. Some of the commandery, the manor house,
right?
But the round barn was part of the plans in the blueprints, and actually wasn't built until Harris left. After Harris left.
Oh, I see. Okay.
It was built by Nagasawa in 1899, and Harris had left in 1891. So it's part of the community. I mean, it was still Harris's.
It was his idea.
It was still his utopia.
His design.
It was still his, yes. And it was somebody who later owned Fountain Grove, who wanted to be a cowboy and took up all the grapevines, which was disastrous. Put a sign up saying built by Russian workmen because it was round, and you know at Fort Ross the
right are,
they're round,
right?
That's a crock.
Yeah.
It's one of those myths that we have so many of that get started. And
you know, Gay, a lot of people would love to see the round barn rebuilt in its original spot, in its original architecture. What are your feelings about that?
Well, my first thought is, and it's a sad one, and that is that you really can't replicate history. And if you look at the guidelines of the National Trust for Historic Preservation,
yeah,
they say unless you have the blueprints, you don't rebuild. However, you can't tell the man who owns
the property,
that. And And I have no dog in that fight.
I
get asked that a lot.
Yeah.
And he will do what he will do, and I'm not saying he's wrong.
Private property.
It's private property. And, you know,
some things can't be replaced.
Some things can't, but I also understand that the round barn was, and, you know, that's why it's on the cover of the book. It's because it wasn't just even Santa Rosa. People who drove Highway 101 it was the old Redwood Highway, or even the freeway. It was a landmark.
Yes.
There's the round barn. We're in Santa Rosa. There's the round barn. We're leaving Santa Rosa.
Yep.
And, you know, we're talking for 100 years probably.
Yeah, so it's obviously, it's not up to us, but, you know, I think people, you know, when we lose so much, you know, we tend to cling to those things that we know best.
And it is, in every sense of the word, iconic. There's no question about it.
Yeah, and of course, you'll learn more about the Red Barn in Gay's new book, The Wonder Seekers of Fountain Grove. Okay, I got to get back to this guy, Thomas Lake Harris. So he comes here and he gathers all of these people and he's performing in the way that he feels he ought to, in the largest scope of things, with his followers here.
Way beyond our comprehension, I might say.
Beyond mine so far, as I know, but I haven't read the book yet. I'm looking forward to it.
I wrote the book and it's still beyond mine.
It's still out there, okay. So he left Sonoma County, right?
Right.
And when he left here, was he still highly thought of in that particular community?
He left here because of a scandal.
The old scandal. Some things don't change.
In 1891, a woman who had a wonderful name, it just rolls off the tongue. Her name was Alzire Chevalier.
Ooh.
And she was a writer from the East. And she was, you know, very well known in little journals that dealt with the occult and the, mm-hmm. and spiritualism,
yeah,
which was very, very big at the time. I mean, we, you know, I don't know how to compare it to one thing today or one thought, but because we're all over the place, but they were very focused. And she came out to visit Harris to learn his method of breathing, which he made a big deal out of getting into oneness with God, with this gift of the breath, or oneness with God,
whomever,
I guess.
Yeah,
whomever. And she came and she and her mother, and he took them up to his cottage. He had a kind of a retreat that was, the best way I could describe it in today's terms, is way up at the end of Los Alamos Road.
Okay.
But there was a way you could get there from Fountain Grove across the mountaintops.
Oh.
There's a picture in the book of the road to Linlilla. That Linlilla was his what he called it. And he took them up there, and they stayed up there with him for a considerable amount mm-hmm. of time, probably a couple of months. I'd have to go back and look at that. But when she left, she wrote an expose of him for the San Francisco Chronicle.
Uh-oh.
And it was, you know, it was a series, and she called him dangerous. She said he had weird sexual practices. Said, and I thought, you know, with a remarkable lack of foresight, that his teachings were worse than those of Mormonism, which at the time was the kind of the cult. It was a cult that was coming to the forefront.
Right.
It was considered that. And anyway, they had a meeting of people here in town who endorsed him and said that you know, she came to lecture in Santa Rosa. The newspaper ran a story with the ministers and all the people, doctors, and saying, oh, no, he's just fine. He's just a wealthy Easterner with odd practices, mm-hmm. but he's been very good for the community. But Harris left.
You see, enough of that.
He left. He married this woman that had been his constant companion for years, Jane Waring, and he left. And he went to New York. And he died in 1909 in New York City. And he had, in the meantime, he was failing in health and age, but he had a number of plans for other communities, one in Florida, one in Mexico, all these different ideas.
And did he still have a huge amount of followers at
that
point?
Yes, he did. And he had some important followers. You know, through the years, he had people like Horace Greeley, who was one of his parishioners in New York before he came out here, and a poet by the name of Edwin Markham, who used to be very famous. He now very few people know it. He wrote a poem called "The Man with the Hoe" about a famous painting, and it was very, very popular in the 1800s. And Markham was a dedicated follower of Harris's. In fact, was with him when he died, and he was writing a biography of Harris, and his archives are at Markham College on Staten Island. And I went back and looked. That's where the blueprints are. That's where I got the copies of the blueprints.
Oh, wow. Yeah. That's interesting.
Yeah.
So he died, and then as you were telling me off air, his followers after his death were waiting for something else to happen,
well,
right?
Well, his wife and Markham and a couple of other people sat by his body in New York for 4 days before they called anyone.
That's a long time to sit by a body in the early 1900s.
In the summertime.
Yeah, and in New York.
And but he had said he was not going to die, that he was coming back, and they waited. But then finally they
gave up. They gave up, literally.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Wow. Well, it is a fascinating story, and, you know, it just makes so much sense when you think about the richness of our community. And thanks to you, we know so much more about the history of our community. Hey, if somebody's slightly offbeat, makes perfect sense to me they'd end up here. You know, so we celebrate that.
My husband used to say that if they tipped the world, all the nuts would roll this way.
Oh man, too late. Somebody tipped the world, I think. But it is a fascinating story, and of course, you know, Fountain Grove so much in our hearts and minds, especially this time of the year.
Yeah, that's why the story of the fire is in there. We had finished the book last year, and we ended up having to revise at least to get the fires in, and to, you know, there's a lot of stories there.
Do you plan, Gay, to mark the fire anniversary in any particular way?
The paper's been doing it right along.
Oh, I know,
No, I don't. I think that the newspaper has done a remarkable job with a very small staff, as we
all
are.
Absolutely.
And I am, I'm not. I have no plans to.
Okay.
I'm talking at various places around.
Oh, I know that's true. Yeah, you're being asked to speak all over the place for about this book, too, as it should be. And thank you so much for coming in and telling us more. I can't wait to read about this guy.
I'll be anxious to know what you think.
Yeah.
If you convert, would you let me know?
Oh, absolutely. You'll be the first to know.
Okay.
It is 9:57 as we say thank you to Sonoma County's treasurer, Gay LeBaron.